The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with Micah.
Hey.
All right, so we are back. This episode is entitled The Pick. Of course, this episode revolves around Jerry meeting up with Tia, the hot model from the airport scene or the airport episode that he was sitting next to. And Elaine gets humiliated by letting Kramer take a Christmas card photo of her that exposes her nipple, and that gets sent around. So George is newly broken up with Susan. What did you think of this episode?
Pretty funny episode. Good performances from everyone. George kind of steals the episode for me. Because it's manic George.
Yes.
And whenever he's, you know, I love manic George. And he's being completely ridiculous and selfish and helpless at the same time. Like, I like that George. The story with Kramer and Elaine, actually, I think is pretty great. The A story between Jerry and Tia. I mean, it was the weakest for me.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really even come into being until
what's like halfway through the episode.
Yeah, I was gonna say it seems like pretty far into the episode.
Yeah, it feels like the nipple was they should have called it the nip.
Yeah, that should have been the A story. I agree.
Yeah,
but they always make Jerry's story the A story.
Yeah.
I mean, it is his show for God's sake.
Right.
So yeah, I certainly did enjoy this episode, and I agree, George steals it. But that particular scene between George and Elaine is one of the fucking funniest things of all time. Like, it is just a classic moment on the series, and we'll get to that, obviously. So the episode starts out with George lamenting on the fact that he's broken up with Susan, and even though he said he didn't even like Susan when they were dating, he is so heartbroken that they have broken up, and he's like sad, and he's like, how do I get her back? He's like being dramatic and like pounding the table that Jerry's sitting at, you know, wanting to get back with Susan. And you know, it's a classic, you know, grass is always greener on the other side kind of thing. And he's like singing songs about how, you know, he should be back with her and all this other stuff. He's being ridiculous.
You ever been sprung like that?
Yeah, I feel like that's probably true, yeah. But I probably did exactly what George did, is I got back with that person and then immediately regretted it. Like, within minutes, like, what are you doing? You poor, dumb son of a bitch. And, you know, that's the way it goes. I didn't get out of it the way George did, but but I certainly did regret it. What about you?
Yeah. When me and my wife first took a break, like broke up, like I wasn't over the ex, and I told her that, like, we were dating for the summer of that year of like 2011, and I was just like, I'm not the type of guy that like strings women along. Not necessarily because I have some sort of code of ethics. I just don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I told her straight up. I said, look, you know, I'm fucked up, and I need some space. She was like, all right, you know, it was fun. Bye. Like, she was just kind of confused. And then I went on a couple of dates, and I was like, God, what the fuck? Like, I think I called you, and I was like,
what the fuck am I doing?
What the fuck am I doing? Right.
Well, you know the advice I gave you, which is like, don't talk to your ex for 3 months.
Right. Right.
Just run away.
You also told me to just go tell her. And,
to tell your
new wife? To tell my current wife, yeah. You know, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you
Like, if you like the girl, go, you know, go tell her.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not
resurrected.
Yeah, I'm not a. I'm not good at the like games and shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not smooth.
Yeah, yeah. I like you. I don't like you. Like, that's all I got, dude.
Right.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not like, oh, you know, is that a mirror in your pocket? You know, because I can see myself in your pants. Like, I'm never gonna say. I don't have lines. Like, come on.
Like, oh, you know what the sweater's made of? Boyfriend material. Yeah. Like, all right, Vision. Oh, yeah, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Or girlfriend material, depending on what she's into. So, like, I just, no. Mm-mm. Nah, it's weird. Like, the games or whatever. Nah, I can't do it. Can't do it. But, yeah, no, I think everybody, you know, it's that song by The Main Ingredient. Everybody, you know, everybody plays the fool, right? Like, that song is good because it's fucking true. It's absolutely true. Mine was with the fucking diva, and yeah, that chick was a user. She was a fucking user, and I was a proud sucker, man. Jesus Christ. Hey, you sure are pretty. You want me to drive you around? Ugh, God. Like, if I could fucking pull a flash and go back in time, I would just walk up to myself and be like, what are you doing? Have some self respect, you fucking loser. Get out of here.
Got Bill Withers playing in the background.
Yeah, it's like, oh.
Use me until you use me up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dude, that was my fucking theme song. It was pathetic. It was pathetic. But, I mean, you saw what she looked like. I mean.
Look, I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, like, I mean, it is what it is. I was fucking 18, dude. 18 or 19 years old. I was like, jackpot. This is amazing. Turns out my gas bill was pretty high. Driving her fucking lame ass around. But yeah, so no, everybody, I think everybody has that issue. I mean, hopefully you get sprung on somebody worth a damn, at least, or at least good looking or whatever. But in George's case, not really.
I would, yeah, argue. Not so much, not man.
So much. No, bro, that was like sweater vest and very particular haircuts, I'll say. It doesn't seem like she
would call be. That. We call that the Mad Owl.
Oh, come on, man. God damn. That's true. She is my lesbian crush. I love me some Rachel. So George continues singing about Susan, and Jerry just cuts him off. He's like, I'm going to have to ask you to leave, which is one of the fucking greatest lines. Because he's so, you can see he's just about to burst out laughing. It's fucking perfectly timed.
Yeah.
So the next scene we see George is at Monk's with Susan trying to win her back. And he's like, oh, I've changed. I, you know, I'm as solid as a rock and all this other bullshit. And she's like, no, I don't, not buying it, like not buying it. And then he gives some, she's like, well, we don't have anything in common. And he gives the most ridiculous explanation about the guy who came up with pasteurized milk and how his... You know, he was consumed with milk and pasteurizing and everything else, but his wife wasn't into that. She was, quote, killing cockroaches with two boots on, or a boot on each hand, because there was so much cake laying around because of all the baking and excess milk. And she finds that quote, which is ridiculous, endearing, and so she takes him back. Hey, man, takes all kinds. All kinds. And so... We also cut to Jerry. He's on a date with Tia, the supermodel or the model, and they're back at his apartment. And he smells this perfume on her, and she's like, oh, it's from Calvin Klein. It's called The Ocean, and it makes you smell like you just came back from the beach. And he realizes that Calvin Klein clearly ripped off Kramer's idea of the beach cologne. That he came up with back in the Pez dispenser episode. And so Kramer comes knocking on the door, and Jerry is like trying to keep Tia and Kramer physically separated so she doesn't, he doesn't smell her perfume and like freak out, because he knows he will. And of course, Kramer somehow, you know, gets his way over to Tia, trying to borrow Jerry's dustbuster of all things. And he then realizes after he leaves that she smells like the beach, and he fucking flips out.
One, I would flip out too. Like, hell, that's my goddamn idea, no matter how stupid it is. It is my idea, and someone else is making money off of it. And it's a direct result of, like, it's safe to assume, you know, it's a direct result of Kramer being there. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
No. Like, I hate that idea of just, hey, you smell like a natural body of water and sand and feet. And like, nah, man. If you could smell like any natural smell, what would you smell? Like, if there was a bottle of, you know, whatever natural thing that's out there that you'd be willing to put on yourself in order to attract someone, what would it be?
What's the, this is going to sound ridiculous because the second I say the name, it's, I think it's the name of something else, which is just really funny. But like, whatever that smell is, right as it starts raining when it's hot, like when it's like summertime. So like, I guess summer rain, which I think is also the name of like a douche product.
I'm pretty sure. Do you want to smell like summer's eve?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like summer rain. I'm pretty sure it's like a douche product. I'm almost positive it is. And if it isn't, it fucking should be the name. But yes, summer rain. I mean, that's also a song, obviously, which is also great. Maybe it is summer. Maybe it's summer's eve. I could have sworn it was summer rain. What about you? If you had to be named after a woman's douche product, which one would it be?
Man, like a natural, that's the thing, like a completely natural odor, like natural odors usually just kind of stink, right? Like, think about things that have a distinct smell. They all smell unattractive. Like
flowers.
Something burning. Or, I mean, no, flowers. No, because you'll find the one person that you're supposed to be with, and you put on this flower perfume, and they'll be allergic to flowers.
They're like, gay.
You know what I always like the smell of that I think people should bottle? And this is going to sound ridiculous, but I want there to be a fragrance that smells like freshly done laundry.
Yeah, okay, that's not bad. But that's just the detergent.
Yeah, I want to spray detergent on myself.
Okay, I wouldn't recommend that.
I want to put detergent in a bottle, squeeze it into a loofah, and then wash with that.
I feel like that's not good for your skin. I feel like you're going for skin bleaching, I think.
Like I want to smell like the back of a laundromat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all right. That's fair. Also, I don't know that this would be a good cologne, but I would certainly, I could certainly understand it. The smell of fresh cut grass.
Oh, nope. I would run away from you.
Yeah, because you had to cut your parents' lawn for so long.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, I can't stand the smell of freshly cut grass. You put me near freshly cut grass, I'm like a Chinese person walking around, you know, Hong Kong, like just with a mask on. And I can't do it. Not anymore. Like, he messed me up cutting that big ass lawn. You know, that lawn took like 2 hours to cut. Ugh.
I kind of love that was the exact opposite for us. I'm like, oh, I like that. So you're like, fuck that. Nope. Never. That is hilarious. So you know, George goes to a counselor that is friends with Elaine because he's having so much problem getting over Susan. And so he goes and he gets the zipper on his coat stuck, and in classic George style, he can't deal with the therapy because he has to deal with getting the jacket zipper unstuck. And he spends his entire time there working on that, which is hilarious because,
you know,
it's
what?
Good for,
I ain't even mad at him because that would eat me up inside, man. Like,
no, I would freak out.
Yeah, man. Like, why isn't this working? Like, I'm right there with him. George is my spirit animal, man.
Oh, he's a lunatic. He's an absolute lunatic. But I tend to fall on his side on most things.
Absolutely.
He is like speaking of neurotic Jews, I was having brunch with my wife and her friend, who you know, and someone else. And her friend goes, "So are those two people, are they neurotic?" And I was like, "They're Jews in New York." yeah, they are. Like, of course they are. And right. That's how George is. Like, he's just a classic stereotype of a neurotic New York Jew. Like, it's just hilarious. And he just cannot let this jacket thing go. So then we get, so Elaine agrees to let Kramer take a picture for a Christmas card because she sees that Tia sent Jerry a Christmas card. And she's like, "Oh, I want to do that." So Kramer's like, "Oh, I'll take your picture. I got a bunch of like equipment at my apartment." She's like, "Oh, okay, cool." And so he takes the picture and she has the person in her office send out all the cards to like over 100 people, she says. And so we get a scene of Elaine and Jerry are in his apartment and he sees the letter from the Christmas card from Elaine. He opens it. He's like, "Oh, I don't know if that is what I think it is, but I'm pretty sure that's your nipple." And she, of course, freaks out.
So this happened to one of the writers. He knew someone who had a picture taken and for a Christmas card, and it was sent out. But it was a dude. And it wasn't his nipple that was exposed. It was his penis.
How?
He had I was looking at the, you know, they had these little notes about nothing on the DVDs. And that's just what they said. They said that the guy's dick was hanging out.
That had to be on purpose.
I mean, it had to be, right? Like there's, unless you're walking around with no drawers on.
Yeah, I mean, like, my dick's not falling out if I have jeans on, guys. Like, that's just not a thing. Not ever.
Any pictures that you regret taking?
That I regret taking, sure. Because I look like a dork. But not anything where body parts are exposed. Oh, you know what? Yeah, okay, I have a really good one. I have, like... This isn't my fault. I would just like to preface this. So in high school, for your senior picture, you're supposed to take, you know, the seniors take pictures in like the women take it in that sort of gown-ish thing that's all sort of generic, and men take it in that like tuxedo thing that's sort of generic, right? Well, I wasn't there, and Mike and I went to high school together, just for reference. So I wasn't there that day. I was out when they were taking pictures. So in order for me to get a picture in a tuxedo, I had to get a picture taken somewhere else. And I had to go to one of those, what is that fucking company that takes the pictures? It's all like smoky and shit.
Like Olin Mills?
No, not Olin Mills. No, the one where they take like glamour shots or some shit like that. Right. This story is fucking ridiculous. So my mom takes me to one of these places in the mall when people used to go to malls, and they had a whole thing like, okay, yeah, we'll do the classic fucking high school thing, right? And you can just buy that. But you have to also take pictures in other things, in other outfits. And like, that's just a part of the deal, but you don't have to buy them. Right?
Wait, what? They're making you do this?
Yeah, like yes, and I'll tell you why in a second. So they own the rights of those pictures. So they take these other pictures, so they have the right to show them off as like a marketing tool. Dude, this is disastrous. So they take the tuxedo picture, but they also, now keep in mind, this is 17, 18 year old Jay, right? I am 125 pounds, soaking wet, holding a brick. I am not a confident person at that point in my life at all. I don't have the level of arrogance, the sheer arrogance I have now. So it's nerdy, never been laid Jay taking a pic, forced to take another picture of my having a picture taken of me. I shit you not, wearing no shirt and a leather jacket.
Oh my God.
I swear to
God. Oh my God.
I swear to God, dude. It's one of the fucking worst things I've ever seen. I like never in my life did I realize in that moment. I was like, this is a horrible thing. Like, you know, most times you realize things are bad in hindsight. But that was one of the things. Like, I had absolute clairvoyance. I was like, the world was completely clear. I was like, no, this is bad. Like, this is a bad thing that I'm being forced to do. So I had to take this picture. Yeah, it was awful.
Like, I need an adult.
Like, right. Like, I had to fucking do the picture. And so, like, I'm just like, just take the fucking photo so I can get out of here.
Oh, no, man.
I had to in order so I can have a picture for the yearbook, which that turned out fine.
You are on somebody's wall right now.
I know. That's the thing, right? So they have the right to use it anywhere. Luckily, dude, I swear to God, I went back to that place and checked. It is a Security Square Mall. I went back every fucking weekend to check to make sure that picture wasn't in, like, the window. Because I would have been like, oh, yeah, can I look at this? And I would have stole it. Like, no, and burned it. Like, fuck that noise. I'd have ran out of there. But it was never there. So probably in the Midwest somewhere, there's a picture of me still being shared, if you can believe that.
Yo, you're probably on Getty Images right now.
Dude, I mean, it's bad. Like, that is seared into my brain.
Look at, like, Jeff Goldblum and shit.
Not even that fucking cool, dude. Not even that fucking cool. Holy shit. I mean, just imagine a skinny kid with, like, literally no confidence being forced to take a picture with in a leather jacket with no shirt on. With my bird fucking chest. Like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing? And then I had, like, another picture I had to take, too, that wasn't nearly as bad, but it was equally, like, stupid. But, yeah, that's my story of a picture I didn't want taken.
I feel like I
did pretty good there.
You are in some pedophile's scrapbook right now.
Probably. I mean, lucky him, I guess. But yeah, or her. But yeah, that's a thing that exists.
Jesus Christ.
So hey, if you're really good at Google and you can find it, you know, there you go, man. I don't even know what to tell you. Like, if somebody found that shit online, that would be sad. Like, that would be really sad. I wouldn't cop to it either. I'd be like, that's not me. Like, I wouldn't do it. I'd be like, no. And then I would
you gotta deny that, man.
No, and look, and then I would immediately find where it was and I would beg the person to take it down. Like, I will pay you any amount of money. But I'm sure it exists. I'm sure it exists. I don't even know where we are. So Elaine is, like, freaking out about having her nipple out. Would you be upset if there was a Christmas card with your wife's nipple out?
Yes, I would. I would be upset because, no, like, you don't get to see that. That's for me. I worked very, very hard to cultivate this relationship in order for me to see that nipple. So for any Tom, Dick, and Harry to just be able to look at it without paying me some sort of restitution. Well, no, that makes me sound like a pimp. yeah. For any asshole to come and look at that. No, that's unacceptable. Can't do it.
What would you do if it? I worked too damn hard. What would you do? Would you just try to ignore it, or would you try to, like?
I would not be able to ignore it. I would not be able to ignore it at all. I guarantee you. Like, we might have. Like, if I got to fight, then we got to fight. Like, it's that serious.
Really?
Yes. I don't want anybody seeing my wife's nipple. I'm very selfish in that way.
Yeah. No, I think I'd be pretty mad.
I'd be pretty fucking pissed off.
Yeah,
I'd be
pretty mad.
Hey, no.
Because it's like, it's not just that. Like, it's attached to a titty. Like,
right.
Yeah, like, nah, man. Nah, that's like Janet Jackson when her boob popped out or whatever. Like, that was Jermaine Dupri's boob, man. Like, come on now. Like, you can't just have that out there.
I'd be so, I would go mad if I was Jermaine Dupri. Because one, you're dating Janet Jackson. Two, you look like Jermaine Dupri.
Exactly.
I mean, Jesus Christ. He looks like a caricature of a racist drawing of a black person as a monkey.
Well, doesn't get much more racist than that. I don't know. I don't know what I would do, but I would be pretty livid at Kramer. I can tell you that.
And I don't want to hear anybody, you know, like, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Nah, man. Nah, it is a big deal. If it wasn't a big deal, I don't see your significant other walking around fucking topless, because they could if they wanted to. I don't want to hear no bullshit about, well, it's not really legal. Like, no, you could if you want to, and yeah, you ain't doing it.
Yeah, there's a reason why you're not doing it.
Right. My wife is fine, goddammit. You don't get to look at that.
No, come on.
Maybe if my wife was ugly. If my wife was ugly, then I wouldn't give a fuck.
No, like, oh, no, because you would always think she was pretty. Doesn't matter. Your perspective is your perspective.
No, we have a very open relationship. Not open in that sense, but we have a very open and honest relationship when it comes to communication. Like, if she has told me on many occasions, in the nicest way possible, that you're getting kind of fat. Yikes. And that's why I'm back in the gym 3 days a week at the crack of fucking dawn, because I'm trying to look good for my wife. And at the same token, like,
you ain't saying that to her.
Nah,
bro.
She has it.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it is open and honest. It ain't that open and honest. You ain't nobody saying that. Get out of here.
Look, I tell her, oh yeah, I would tell you. I would tell you if you know, this, that, or the other. No, you ain't doing that shit.
No one's that stupid, okay?
I beg to differ. I know some pretty stupid people that would probably do that shit. Yeah. But, well,
nah,
I ain't picking no fight.
Nah, you're gonna
Terrence would do that shit. Terrence is...
You said it was fun.
Real.
Said
yeah. It was fun. Terrence, you can't... Of all the people we know, Terrence would do that shit.
Yeah, that's true.
And then just be like, what?
You said
like,
it was fun.
What you mean, what? Empathy, motherfucker. Do you have it?
No.
No, right. That would be his answer. No.
No, I do not. Sorry.
I'm the nicest guy here.
In this empty room. Get the fuck
right
out of here, Terrence. Get out of here. Liar. So, Jesus Christ. So George comes in. He finds out about the Christmas card, and he's like, I didn't get a Christmas card. Oh, actually, before that, let me skip back. Before that, Jerry's in his car. And Tia pulls up in a cab, and she thinks she sees him pick his nose, which is the whole point of this entire episode, apparently, which comes in literally at 12 minutes and like 20 seconds on a 23-minute show. But she thinks he picked his nose, but he was actually just scratching on the outside. Would you break up with somebody like you that you newly dated and you saw them pick their nose?
Yes, I would. And I'm a hypocrite, right? Because if the shoe were on the other foot, I'm like, you know. But it's one thing I can't stand. And look, I'm a bastard, right? I have a double standard when it comes to women, right? I like women that don't. I don't want a woman to fart in front of me. Like, I know you have to fart. But, like, just excuse yourself. And I don't do it, right? I don't fart in front of women, right? Do me the same courtesy, because I don't want to smell your shit.
Do you not fart in front of your wife at all?
No, I don't. I don't fart in front of my wife. She farts in front of me. But I do not fart in front of my wife, because I make, pun intended, I make a big stink about it when she farts in front of me. Like, I let her know that I don't really appreciate that shit.
I feel like you get over
it. I mean, it's gotten to the point now where it doesn't bother me. Like, it's to the point now where she's going to do it anyway. So now it's just a running gag, you know, but, yeah. And we just give each other a hard time about shit. But no, I don't want to, I don't want you to spit. I don't want you to belch. I don't want you. Like, I'm very, I don't know. I'm an asshole like that.
I belching is not a thing I appreciate.
Yeah, man.
I don't really care for that from anybody, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't.
And yeah, and look, it's from anybody. It just really irks me when it's a woman. Like, I don't, like, I'm trying my best to be smooth here, right? This is my Mac Daddy vibe I am giving you, right?
Very nice.
And you know, the King of Zamunda ain't farting in front of ladies. So I would appreciate the possible future Queen of Zamunda to not fart in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, look, break up with somebody. Nah, I wouldn't break up with somebody if I like them. You know what I mean? But
it puts it wouldn't do well.
It depends on how deep you go. You know what I mean? Like, if you're scratching your nose, you're scratching your nose. But if you're picking out hunks of boogers, all right, well, look, something got to give, man. Like, I don't even fault you if you, like, got a scratch on the inside of your nose. You know what I mean? Like, I'm very forgiving. But, nah, man. Like, if you're picking boogers and dingleberries out of your ass and all that shit, like, nah, man. Nah. We got to go. Nah. I don't appreciate that shit.
I don't need that.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody needs that. That's not good. So George gets back with Susan. Actually, that was much later in the episode. I'm sorry. I said it was earlier. Tia doesn't want to call Jerry back. Jerry finds out that Tia is actually, he's like, oh, she hasn't called me in 3 days. I think she thinks I picked my nose, blah, blah, blah. And so he calls her office and finds out that she's actually meeting with Calvin Klein right then. And so Kramer and Jerry go over to Calvin Klein because you could just go to the building, I guess. Trump Tower, incidentally. And
oh, that was Trump Tower?
Yeah, yeah, it's in the front when they go up or when the, you know, they do the sort of street pan. And so they go to Trump Tower and they burst in on the meeting with Calvin Klein. And Kramer is like talking to Calvin Klein about how they stole his idea, and Calvin Klein, who, by the way, that actually was him.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. I was like, I don't think I know what Calvin Klein looks like. All I know is he's a pervert because he really likes like that heroin chic look, which I don't. Ew. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think skin on skeletons is
it's just
is
not
attractive at all.
Yeah. I mean, people for some reason think I do believe that because I don't. I don't like the polar opposite of that, but no,
that's how
the internet works.
People think,
yeah,
if it ain't one thing, it's the complete and utter opposite.
I'm like, wait, what? Like, no, you know, I'm more of a, I don't know if you've ever noticed how I talk, but I'm more of a things happen in the middle. Like, that's sort of a recurring theme in my conversations.
Right.
So yeah, I think Calvin Klein stuff is generally gross. And it just all looked dirty. I'm like, somebody taking a shower in these ads?
Right. Aren't you selling clothes?
And cologne.
Right.
Stuff that you're supposed to smell good. And it's like, it's just a bunch of dirty white people standing up against a black wall. Like, ooh, what an ad. Wearing fucking shitty boxer briefs that are way too expensive. Or like tidy whities. Like, get out of here. Don't wear tidy whities, gentlemen. That's not good.
It's not a good look, man.
No, it really isn't. Look, I switched over to boxer briefs years ago. Just make the move, man. Just make the
yep.
move. Or wear boxers. One of the two. Don't wear tidy whitey. That's a disaster. No woman wants to take your pants off and see those. Okay? It's like, oh, you remind me of my grandfather. Good. This is hot. So Jerry talks to Tia in the hallway while Kramer's talking to Calvin Klein. He's like, oh, so I know she didn't call me back. I thought we had a good time. The only thing I can think is that you thought you saw me picking my nose. And she's like, I know what I saw. And he's like, no, there was no pick. There's no pick. There was no pick. And she's like, nah, basically not buying it. And she's like, I got to go. Get out of my face. You're gross. And look, Here's the thing I don't get. Why are you going to judge someone? You know you pick your nose.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make sense. It's not like he did something that most people don't do. It's not like you caught him, like, fingering his own ass. And you're like, wow, okay, that's a little weird. Like,
right.
Like, you caught him picking his nose. You're going to go home, watch TV, and probably pick your nose. We all do it.
Right.
It's all disgusting. We know. We're all aware of it. We just don't do it in public. You just hope that you don't get caught. That's it's just one of those things. It's like farting. Like, you just hope you don't get caught. Like, I once farted in my in the hospital room with my ex and her dying grandmother. It was like,
oh, gotcha.
I tried to hold it in for as long as I could.
Oh, shit.
Like, yeah. Sorry about that.
And this was the grandmother, right? If I recall those people.
Oh, no, not that. No, I like this one.
Oh, okay.
No, it wasn't the racist. I wouldn't even try to hold it. I'm like, yeah, this is what I think of your life.
Good. Here's what I think of your death.
Yeah. It could come anytime now. Like, hand me a pillow, you fucking asshole. No, it's the nice ones. So back at the office, Elaine is trying to smooth things over with her boyfriend, who is this religious guy. And she's also fielding calls from people who are saying, like, her cousin whose nephew was hiding the card because he's clearly jerking off to it. By the way, this is a perfect example of subtlety in dialogue, right? This is something Lee Daniels could learn a lot from. Elaine is on the phone with her cousin, and she's talking about, yes, I know how young he is, talking about her nephew. And she says, well, clearly the woman on the other line says, well, I can't find the card now. And Elaine says, have you checked under his mattress? She didn't need to give all of that dialogue. They let you fill it in.
Right.
Like, and she didn't say, did you look under his mattress? Because that's where boys like to keep their porno so they jerk off with it. Like, you could just be subtle about it. You don't have to say it. Like, right. That's one thing the show does well, is it balances, like, these extreme in-your-face moments with absolute perfect subtlety, like the masturbation episode.
Yeah. Plus, you know, like, that's how people talk. Like, people, when they speak, they don't over-explain things.
Yeah, it's not necessary for... You don't need expose.
Right. When I over-explain things, like, sometimes I'll do a joke, and then I'll over-elaborate on that joke.
It's not funny anymore.
Just to try and hammer it home.
Yeah.
Because I want to over-explain it, and I'm doing it deliberately,
right?
Like what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And it's
and you're hoping that you'll get over on it,
right? Like, it's, but again, like you said, that's one of the things that makes the show, like, so funny.
Yeah, they know how to balance that, and it's not easy. So George talks about how he's back with Susan and how absolutely miserable it is and how, you know, all of the things basically that he said he missed about her. Of course, he's back on the this woman sucks kind of thing. And so he says, you know, he tells a story of like, oh, so we get to our apartment and she goes into the bathroom and I realize that I am just like miserable. And I try to think of a way to kind of get out of this. And so he says it strikes him like lightning. He goes, I do the pick. And so when she comes out of the bathroom, he says he's all the way up to his wrist, up his nose. And I guess that's that she breaks it off with him because he's broken up with her later on. It's a pretty good move. It's a bold move. Clearly it worked.
It is a bold move. I don't know if I would have thought of it, actually.
No. No, probably not. I probably would have just been like, so we're going to bang or no?
Right.
I mean, I'm over here. I mean, it's the least we could do.
I mean, you made me watch Mad About You, for God's sakes.
Hey. I like that show. It's a good show, man. It's a good show.
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's endearing. I like that show a lot.
I'll never, ever watch it.
Maybe me and my wife will do a podcast about Mad About You when the show is done.
Mm.
It's a good show, man. I kind of love it. I kind of do, man. Like, I got a thing for Helen Hunt, man. Like, she is actually adorably relatable. Like, she's what Jennifer Lawrence tries to be. And I saw her in that movie, The Sessions, and she was like 50 years old, and she was naked, and she still looked great. I was very proud of her. I like Helen Hunt, man. And I like, I was going to say Paul Scheer. That's not right. Paul Reiser.
I was about to say, do you remember the guy's name?
Yeah, no, I remember Paul Reiser, of course. I mean, what the fuck has Paul Reiser done since then? Pfft, nothing. So the episode ends with all four of the characters sitting at Monk's, and, you know, Kramer shows them his ad. Calvin Klein decided to put him in an ad. And he shows it to him, and it turns out his dick, or I guess maybe one of his balls or something, is showing at the bottom of the underwear. And they're just like, ooh. And so, fade to black. Which is a good way to tie it all together, actually.
Yeah.
Proving, yeah. By the way, proving that the nipple story is the A story. It's right. Really, it's really the actual, the A story.
Yeah.
So, parting words?
Solid episode. Pretty funny. You know, they're coasting along.
Yeah, I think
after after the high of the contest, they're still kind of cruising.
Yeah, I'd say so. There's a couple more high points in this season as well before we get to the big season five, which is the that one's like hit after hit after hit. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. All right, that is it for us, and we will see you guys next week for another episode of Airing of Grievances.
See you.
Bye.
Really?